Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and all this week during the Pledge Drive, we are previewing the fall in arts and culture. Yesterday, we talked books. The day before, we talked theater. Today, we want to talk about the upcoming season in terms of music, and we were having a really hard time thinking of who might be the perfect guest. We searched far and wide. We scoured the blogs, auditioned a number of people. No, actually, we just walked down the hall and got John Schaefer, who knows more about the music scene in New York than probably just about anybody. John Schaefer, host of the newly relaunched Soundcheck. Thanks a lot for doing this with us.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
And you've brought a bunch of clips for us to play and talk about. But before we get to that, I just want to mention the new Soundcheck, which had gone on hiatus over the summer to remake the show. And from what I could tell, you guys took the least relaxing summer vacation ever.
We were so glad to get back on the air because the vacation was killing us. It was just so difficult to kind of, you know, figure out what we were doing, how we were going to do it. But we're very happy with, I mean, people should check out the website, soundcheck.org, which is brand new and doing quite well.
It's great. And for people who know the show, do you think of Soundcheck as a place for people to find out about new music or a place for people to get together and talk about music they already love? Just talk about it.
Well, I sort of my model is sports talk radio, where, you know, people are really passionate about sports. And what they like to do is talk to other people who are passionate about sports. And sometimes you learn something new, and sometimes the fun is just kind of swapping opinions and ideas. And so we're kind of like that with music, you know. We hope that you will hear things that you know you love, but we really hope you're going to find new things that you didn't think you were going
to
love.
I'm trying to think of the parallel to all the yelling and screaming about whether A-Rod should have been benched. Do you do that with, like, the bass player of the Rolling Stones? Or?
Well, actually, that's not a bad analogy. There's lots of interesting things that can be said about the bass player of the Rolling Stones.
And we're going to talk about the Rolling Stones a little bit later, but let's take a listen to some music from bands that will be playing actually tonight here in New York. And I think it's safe to say that the Debo Band is a recent Soundcheck favorite. Mm-hmm. So what'd you bring?
This is a band out of Boston led by two Ethiopian Americans, and they are resurrecting the sounds of what was known as Swingin' Addis. In the early 70s, Addis Ababa, the capital of Ethiopia, having successfully resisted an invasion by Italy earlier in the century, completely caved to an invasion of American funk. And this song is one of the results, and it's been covered now by Debo Band.
You know, that's a good sound. You know what it reminds me of? I have a story along these lines, which is that the one time I was in East Africa was in the 80s. And, of course, whenever I travel to another country, I'm very excited to turn on the radio and hear what kind of music people are listening to there. And it all sounded like that, or a lot of it sounded like that. That was a dominant sound in the 80s when I was in Kenya. And I realized that I had not heard anything like that. Maybe because there was no sound check yet. But I had not heard anything like that being played in the United States, and it was so infectious.
Yeah, I mean, not only the sounds of James Brown-style funk, but also the lingering echoes of military bands especially brass bands brought by the English to East Africa. So you hear lots of horns blaring and wailing, and it's really infectious.
How many
stuff.
Members are that band?
There's like 11 of them. And they are going to pack the stage of our green space downstairs tonight.
So tell us about that. You're doing a CMJ showcase.
Yeah. Now, we're talking about, you know, the fall season, and here in New York, the really big event in the rock world, and to a lesser extent perhaps the hip-hop world, is CMJ, which is this big music marathon going on all this week, 1,300 bands have descended on New York to play in more than 80 venues, some of them doing 4 or 5 shows a week, some of them doing 3-4 shows a day, everyone looking to get noticed to become the next big thing.
It's one of the best music weeks in the city of the year.
Right. And so Soundcheck and CMJ have collaborated on a showcase tonight in WNYC's ground floor performance venue, the Green Space, and Debo Band will be one of the acts on the bill.
And on our webpage, WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. We actually put a link so you could get tickets, folks, if you actually want to go to the Green Space tonight. And also videos of the bands that we're discussing here this morning and airing some of the audio of. And another band in the showcase is, actually, I don't know how to say this. Is it Luyas?
The Luyas.
The Luyas.
Yeah, they're out of Montreal, which, you know, Montreal for the last 10 years or so has been a hotbed of great indie rock. I mean, bands like Arcade Fire, you know, surprise Grammy winners for Album of the Year a couple of years back, leading the way. But behind them, just one band after another. Really interesting kind of blend here of psychedelia, pop, a kind of dream pop style with some really beautiful vocals.
So an excerpt of their song, Face. Electronics, reverb,
yeah.
Pretty vocals, indie rock meets new age?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Or is that an insult?
I think a lot of indie rockers might take it that way. But they'll be actually kicking things off at 7 o'clock tonight in the Green Space. And we're almost broadcasting this live. We'll be delaying it to our usual 9 p.m. time. So if you can't attend in the Green Space, you can actually hear it at 9 p.m.
Oh, you're going to do this on the air tonight?
Yeah.
On tape delay, basically.
Yeah, it's going to be a quick turnaround, but this is our plan. We'll see how it works out.
John Schaefer with us doing a fall music and concert preview, talking at first about some of the artists that he has down in our Green Space, our performance space on the ground floor here at 160 Varick Street tonight. Just curious about there being dozens of other bands that mix electronics and reverb and that kind of sound. Is there something that separates a band like the Luyas for you?
Just the successful way that they make that blend work for them. I mean, really, a lot of it comes down to the vocals, which are just really, you know, you hear that voice and it just kind of seduces you to an extent.
So let's go from something brand new to something released, believe it or not, 25 years ago. This is the 20th anniversary of Peter Gabriel's album, So, Sledgehammer, In Your Eyes, and Red Rain. Why is this album, of all albums, worthy of a big 25th anniversary reissue?
Well, first of all, it was a great record then. It has stood the test of time. It's still a great record. I'm not normally really big on reissues, but this album is actually coming out as like a 4-CD set with all kinds of goodies, all kinds of extras, live performances and stuff. And Peter Gabriel fans over the years have been a frustrated lot. He writes slowly. He records even more slowly. So anytime you have a chance to hear some previously unheard Peter Gabriel material, it's worth taking.
In your experience talking to the artists, do these sorts of anniversaries matter to the musicians, or are they just a way to get a new round of sales for the record company?
Most of the musicians that I've talked to have a kind of healthy cynicism about anniversaries, reissues, birthdays. The composer Steve Reich told me, you know, every year that I have a birthday that ends in a 0 or a 5, I get lots more performances. So I'm perfectly happy with that.
Yes, we've probably done, yes, we did Steve Reich's 60th birthday, 65th birthday,
right.
70th birthday. So good for him. Another blast from the past, the release after all these years of Charlie Is My Darling, the first ever documentary about the Rolling Stones, filmed in Ireland. What was it, like 1965?
It's 1965. So this is a pivotal moment in Stones history. They've been a very successful blues cover band. They've successfully written a couple of songs of their own, which have sort of gotten onto the charts. And then Satisfaction happens. And suddenly, the door is open for this band to become the juggernaut that they will eventually become.
And why are we only seeing this documentary now?
Yeah, it's really weird. The documentary was basically a vanity project by Andrew Luke Oldham, who was the young manager of the Rolling Stones. They were doing this tour in Ireland, and he just hired a couple of cameramen to follow along with the idea that, you know, this will be fun to, you know, show the band. It'll be, you know, some backstage stuff, the boys hanging out in the hotel rooms writing songs. And then in terms of actually producing a film out of those tapes, that seems not to have happened, at least not to the extent that we have with this new version of the film, which has a lot of previously unseen footage. There are bits and pieces that have gotten out over the years, but as a work of cinema, Charlie Is My Darling is being seen this fall for the first time. And it really is remarkable. These are the Stones at the beginning of the period where they would be one of the icons of rock and roll, and they're playing Ireland. They're playing these little clubs. There's no security. There's nothing
incredible
between them and their fans.
Can
and
you
they
imagine?
Are completely unprepared for the reaction that they're getting from these fans.
And looking at clips from this, it's a nice reminder that there was a time when the Rolling Stones were just a group of soft-spoken kids with shaggy haircuts and charming British accents. We do have the trailer for Charlie Is My Darling on our webpage. You can see it at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And we'll also collect your comments there with your fall music picks in any genre. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. By the way, I'm not sure, John Schaefer, if you were aware of this minor controversy, but the Stones are on their 50th anniversary tour this fall, and they chose for their New York area appearance not Madison Square Garden, not
the
brand new Barclays
right.
Center, but Newark's Prudential Center. Do you have your own take either on why that is or on the relative merits of those three halls? Have you been to Barclays yet?
I have not been to Barclays yet. I mean, I go by it all the time. I live in the neighborhood,
yeah.
But I have not been inside. I was really hoping that they would get the Rolling Stones for the New York area. I'm not actually too surprised that they're going to Newark. They've played the Meadowlands. I mean, they're used to seeing New Jersey.
Is it a Jersey crowd that somehow – I mean, they'll sell out wherever they go.
They'll sell out wherever they go. I think this was probably a purely practical, logistical decision.
We'll continue with John Schaefer, part two of our fall music preview segment coming up in a few minutes. John, talk to you in a couple.
Okay, thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and every day during this pledge drive, we're previewing different aspects of the fall season in arts and culture around the New York area. Today we're doing music, and John Schaefer is back, host of Soundcheck. We were just talking with him before about his rock and pop picks for the fall. But John, time to take off your Soundcheck hat and put on your new Sounds hat. And out of curiosity, since you do both shows, where do you draw the line between music that works for Soundcheck, which is so broadly defined, and music that works best for new sounds?
Well, there are some things that are, you know, just really a little experimental to be listened to, say, at 2 in the afternoon when we're still doing a lot of our live sessions on the web stream, and even at 9 o'clock at night. There's some stuff that's just a little out there that seems better suited to a late-night program like New Sounds. And then there are things that are kind of right down Broadway, you know, mainstream music, which is not the brief of New Sounds. So that kind of stuff is best left to Soundcheck.
So we've got two quick picks here. First, what do we need to know about Phil Klein?
Phil Klein is a New York-based composer who has a lot of kind of rock in his background. He's an electric guitarist himself, but he is a composer. And he's doing a new series of songs at the new BAM place. Now, you know, BAM has the Barclays Center, but I mean, Brooklyn has the Barclays Center, but the Brooklyn Academy of Music also has a new music venue, which is the Fisher Building, the Fishman Auditorium. It's Fishman and Fisher. One's the hall, one's the building. It's a little confusing. And Phil Klein will be unveiling a new song cycle there, kind of inspired by those great old Frank Sinatra albums of the 50s, Only the Lonely and the Wee Small Hours of the Morning. But the one that I brought in is he'll be sort of resurrecting his old Zippo songs, which takes Vietnam War era inscriptions that the GIs wrote on their Zippo lighters and answers the question, what if Franz Schubert hadn't lived in Austria in the 1820s, but instead had lived in America during the psychedelic 60s?
Been to hell, live to tell you. Yeah, though I walk in the valley.
And what is Schubertian about this?
Well, just it's a song cycle,
I see.
Which is something that Schubert was quite adept at doing. And so Phil Klein is the electric guitarist there, but also the composer. And even the drum part is composed.
And because our time is short, let's go right on to another pick. Very different, but still very new soundsy. We started off our conversation with the Debo Band, which blends Egyptian jazz.
Ethiopian
jazz with more pop rhythms. And you also want to talk about the Egyptian project.
Well, yeah. I mean, Egypt, obviously, and all of North Africa very much in the news and on our minds since the Arab Spring last year. The Egyptian Project is a French producer who gathered together some of the great Egyptian musicians of bygone years. These guys are all now in their 60s, and I put them in a studio and created. This kind of thing can go off the rails really easily, but I think this is a very successful and tastefully done mix of Western production and traditional Egyptian sounds.
And so quickly before we go, other than listening to Soundcheck and new sounds, what are your top picks?
What more could there be?
Top tips for finding out about new music?
I would say websites like, Pitchfork is an obvious one. E-music I like a lot. And also SoundCloud. If you, you know, it's a good place to go trolling for new stuff. I found a lot of interesting stuff on SoundCloud.
And tell me again about your Green Space event tonight.
7 o'clock, a CMJ showcase with Debo Band, the Luyas, MNDR, and the comedian Dave Hill, who also wields a mean guitar. That's 7 o'clock, and we'll air it at 9.
Not many seats in the Green Space to begin with. Still some tickets?
Yeah, there are still tickets.
Right.
I think it will be mostly people standing as opposed to seated, so we can fit a few more folks.
All right. Sounds like great fun. John Schaefer, thanks a lot for coming on and doing some fall music picks.
Thank you, Brian.
Coming up next, the Leonard Lopate Show here on WNYC. Leonard will have Barbara Ireland, creator of the 36 Hours column in the New York Times, and editor Nina Weiner of the New York Times 36 Hours, 150 weekends in the USA and Canada. Also, this week's Please Explain is all about the fungal meningitis outbreak and compounding pharmacies, as they're known. So a lot coming up to listen to right after the latest news on the Leonard Lopate Show here on WNYC. Have a great weekend, everybody. I'll talk to you Monday. I'm Brian Lehrer.